Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the conference call to announce the results of AES Brasil. On this conference call, we're going to announce the results of the third quarter of 2023. AES Brasil Investor Relations Department also says that the release and the results presentation are available at the company's website at the address ri.aesbrasil.com.br. All participants will be connected in listen-only mode. Later on, we are going to have a questions and answer session when further instructions for you to participate will be provided. If you are connected by telephone and you need the help of the operator during this conference call, please press star zero. As a reminder, this conference call is being recorded and then transmitted via webcast and can be accessed at the company's investor relations website. On behalf of AES Brasil, we would like to say that statements made during this conference call, relative to the company's business prospects, operational and financial projections and goals are mere assumptions based on current expectations. Forward-looking statements may change because of variables such as market conditions, economic performance of the country, and international markets. The presentation will be made by the company's CEO, Mr. Rogério Pereira Jorge, and by its CFO, José Simão, who at the end will be available to answer any questions you may have. As a reminder, journalists that want to ask questions may send your questions by email to the press services of the company at the address ri.imprensa@aes.com. Now, I would like to give the floor to Mr. Rogério Jorge. Please, Mr. Jorge, you may start.
Good morning, everyone. It's a pleasure to be with you for another AES Brasil earnings release. Today, our CFO, José Simão, will share with me this presentation. We start our presentation on slide number two with the main highlights that mark the company's third quarter. In terms of growth, we start with great news and a significant milestone in our history. We completed the construction of Cajuína Phase One this quarter. This first phase of the complex began the construction at the end of December 2021 and will add a total of 314 MW of installed capacity to our portfolio that is already 100% renewable. With Phase One, we went from 4.2 GW to 4.5 in terms of operation. In addition, we had an important advance in Cajuína Phase Two with an installed capacity of 371 MW. The completion of the construction exceeds 84%, and four wind turbines are already in commercial operation. I'll show you more details on the next slides. In the operational front, we continue to report significant advances in the availability of wind and solar assets. This is a reflection of the investments we made to increase the performance of these assets, an important part of our value creation strategy. This quarter, we recorded an increase of 2 percentage points in the availability of wind farms and 1 percentage point in the availability of solar farms, which continue to operate at a level of excellence with an average availability of 99% in the period. The operational improvement and contribution of the new wind assets led to a 95% increase in the volume of wind energy generated in the quarter. I also highlight the increase in hydro generation by almost 50%, a reflection on the favorable hydrological scenario. Regarding financial performance, we have another quarter of robust results as reflecting our strategy of growth and portfolio diversification. I want to highlight here the 37% growth in the net margin in the quarter versus the third quarter of 2022, reaching 588 million BRL. In addition to our EBITDA, which grew more than 50%, registering 430 million BRL and EBITDA margin of 47.3%. I also highlight the operating cash generation, which totaled 382 million, already reflecting the growth of the company's portfolio. Later in the financial chapter, Simon is going to bring more details about the results of the period. In ESG, to conclude, I am very proud to announce our main achievements. For the third consecutive year, we remain as the only company in the electricity industry in Latin America with MSCI's AAA rating, the highest rating possible. In addition, in August, we had the graduation, the first class of women from the specialization course in operation and maintenance of wind farms, also in the region of Cajuína in the state of Rio Grande do Norte. 73 professionals graduated. Cajuína will be the second complex 100% operated by women, as we did in Tucano in Bahia. We are very happy to know that we expanded the possibilities for professional development for women in this area of activity, which is still most occupied by men. Our business model contributes directly in a positive way for the main social and environmental challenges of our society. Moving now to the growth chapter on slide four, I will show more details about the completion of the construction and beginning of the full commercial operation of Cajuína 1 with 314 megawatts of installed capacity to the portfolio. The complex is fully contracted in a long-term PPAs, which fully supply energy for our large customers with an excellent credit profile. Minas Ligas, Fervasa, Copel, and part of the contract with BRF. Together, PPAs have an average duration of more than 18 years and prices adjusted annually by the inflation, which assures long-term revenue predictability. In the center of the slide, I highlight the generation curve of Cajuína according to the gradual entry of the machines since April 2023. We observed an increasing curve, which reached generation of more than 56 gigawatts in energy in September. Cajuína was also influenced by the restriction of the ONS between August and September because of the August 15 blackout. Generation was normalized at the end of September when the transmitter's limit for energy flow was revised to 10.8 average gigawatts by the operator. It's worth mentioning that as the machines go into operation, we are officially entered an operation and maintenance contract with Nortex. This agreement assures full support by the funder for the first 5 years of the operation. Finally, with the complete operation, as Cajuína becomes fully operational, our portfolio now has 4.5 gigawatts in operation and more than 0.7 gigawatts under construction. Tucano, Cajuína Phase 2, and Água Vermelha 7, totaling 5.2 gigawatts of renewable installed capacity. Moving to the next slide, number five. You can see the evolution of the construction of Cajuína Phase 2, which has 370 megawatts of installed capacity, also located in the state of Rio Grande do Norte. We already have 84% of the project's construction ready versus 63% as we reported in the last conference call. The civil works and the transmission line that connects the two substations in the complex are practically complete. Of the 65 machines in this phase, 52 use the same substation as phase one, which is ready, and these machines should start operating by the end of 2023. It is estimated the complex will be 100% operational in the first half of 2024. We continue to move forward according to the schedule in the assembly and testing of wind turbines. We have already completed the complete assembly of 44 wind turbines in this complex, 27 of which have their electrical part finished and have been approved for assembly, which means that they are ready to start operating or going through commissioning. By the end of October, four wind turbines will be in commercial operation, like Cajuína. So it's worth remembering that the complex is fully contracted in long-term PPAs over 16 years, which supply energy to large customers. In this case, Unipar, Microsoft, and the other part of our BRF contract. On slide six, we go back to the final phase of the construction of Tucano Wind Complex in the state of Bahia, with 322 megawatts of installed capacity and fully contracted with long-term PPAs. Here we have
15-year PPA with Anglo America and another PPA with Unipar for 20 years in a self-production model. The Compass has state-of-the-art Siemens machines with 6.2 megawatts capacity each and impressive size. As you know, as these are pioneering machines in Brazil, very few installations around the world, the commissioning process proved to be the main challenge, causing delay in relation to the original schedule that we announced to the market. I would like to draw attention to an important aspect. Each one of the complex's equipment has undergone thorough analysis together with a supplier, and any problems identified during the construction and commissioning processes has been carefully mapped and is now in the final stage of correction. Once again, I would like to emphasize that our team is focusing on making sure that all necessary correction and adjustments are made by the supplier. Our commitment is to ensure that this equipment operates in full compliance with the highest standards of excellence established by AES Brazil. This quarter, we had some challenges that delayed the correction and maintenance necessary for the complex to go into full operation. We had an average wind speed close to 9 meters per second in a quarter, with more than 10 meters per second in some days. As the turbines are 115 meters above from the ground, it was neither possible nor safe to perform maintenance during these high-speed winds. In addition, as I briefly mentioned in the slide, the 15th of August blackout resulted in increase of generation restrictions in wind farms in the Northeast, given the reduction in the flow capacity of transmission lines that take this energy to large consumption centers. As a result, some of our machines were prevented from generating during the testing period, which meant that we had to restart testing of the machines a few times, thereby delaying the completion of commissioning. Another effort we made to ensure the proper operation of the wind farm was the installation of blade vibration sensors in all wind turbines, which allows real-time monitoring, an innovative and uncommon practice in wind farms. This measure was implemented in order to ensure more effective control and reinforce the safety of operations. Our priorities are centered on the reliable and safe performance of Tucano, and we are committed to making sure that everything runs smoothly. Today, the project is almost fully complete with the assembly of all 52 wind turbines. 49 of them have already been fully commissioned and 37 are in commercial operation. The complex is expected to be 100% operational by the end of this year. Now, going to slide 7, I would like to highlight the key role in innovation in our business strategy. Looking into the future, we focus our efforts on identifying business lines that have a promising potential to become increasingly more relevant, especially in retail, green hydrogen, and energy storage solutions. Undoubtedly, the retailer is destined for exponential expansion in coming years, especially after January 2024, when all high-voltage consumers will be eligible to migrate to the free market. The trend is for our customer base to expand, encompassing more and more smaller-scale customers. Currently, our retailer serves 379 customers. In 2023, we grew the volume of energy sold by 70% as compared to AES Brazil portfolio at the end of 2022. In other words, in the first 9 months of this year, our retail portfolio is 70% larger than what we had sold over 4 years since the beginning of AES retail operation started back in 2019. That's an average of 74 megawatts of energy sold. Our strategy for the retail market has been based on digitalization of processes and the strengthening of our regional presence of our sales team, which keeps us constantly among the three largest retailers in Brazil. Another important front is green hydrogen, which emerges as a topic of extreme relevance for Brazil. Our country is rich in natural resources, including renewable and gas resources, which represents a solid foundation for Brazil's growth potential. In addition, our country's strategic location puts us in a privileged position to facilitate trade relations with other countries. The Ministry of Mines and Energy is
preparing a regulation for the green hydrogen market. At the end of August, the ministry launched a triennial work plan from 2023 to 2024 within the National Green Hydrogen Program, which includes, among priority points, the creation of a regulatory framework for the green hydrogen market. In addition to the regulatory framework, one of the priority actions of the triennial plan is to increase annual investment in research, development, and innovation in low-carbon hydrogen. The amount will increase from 29 million invested in 2020 to 200 million by 2025. In this scenario, we have a pre-contract signed in 2022 with the Port of Pecém to continue feasibility studies for the production of up to 2 gigawatts of green hydrogen and up to 300,000 tons of green ammonia per year, according to our strategy to decarbonize the global energy matrix with new technologies that will help customers in this mission. Another important front that we are working on is the solution for energy storage in batteries. The government wants to start integrating batteries and other energy storage solutions into the Brazilian electrical system and is expected to propose that these technologies will compete in 2 auctions scheduled for 2024, one to contract voltage and the other one to decarbonize the Amazon's electricity matrix. The batteries could store electrical energy generated by intermittent sources such as wind and solar, and thus the proposal is to put them in the electrical system at the time when the grid operation in the country becomes more complex and requires more flexibility from ages. The auctions would represent an important development opportunity for the markets that is still incipient in Brazil, where batteries have a restricted use and are associated mainly with a backup at the end of the energy consumer. The ministry is still evaluating how the storage product can be included in the auction. One of the ideas is for batteries to be combined with renewable power plants that will supply them with energy. Another option would be to hire the battery alone as a way of charging the responsibility of the equipment operating. We should highlight our partnership with innovation. Since 2026, we have been developing a startup acceleration cycle, and a strategic collaboration has been essential to drive new initiatives and promote an environment conducive to the emergence of transformational solutions for our businesses. Starting now on the operational chapter of the presentation, move to slide 9, where I will give an overview of the hydro scenario. The third quarter and the first 9 months of 2023 were marked by a high volume of rainfall, very close to the long-term average for the period and above the historical average of the last 10 years. As a result, hydroelectric reservoirs ended September with the best storage level of the last 14 years, according to the ONS, exceeding 73% versus 58% at the end of September 2022. For the end of October, which is traditionally the last month of the dry season of the year, the ONS indicated that the level of reservoirs in the interconnected system was close to 70%. Here, it's worth noting that despite the high levels of reservoir, the total storage capacity of the system is approximately 5 to 6 months equivalent to the country's load. During the rain seasons, it is crucial to keep generation active to prevent reservoirs from spilling. But if inflow decreases, reservoirs can empty quickly. In addition, it's common for less rainfall to be associated with higher temperatures and consequently increasing the demand of energy. In this system condition, spot price remained at its lowest for almost the whole year so far, leaving its lowest in the last week of September, which had not occurred since August 72. The increase in the spot price was due to a combination of a few factors. First, high temperatures. We had an all-time record for instantaneous demand on September 27, 2023, reaching 97 gigawatts demanded by the system because of high temperatures, because of the El Niño phenomenon. The system load in the last week of September was on average 10% higher than that observed between the 1st and 20th of September. The second factor was the need for thermoelectric power plants to supply power. The total installed capacity of hydroelectric plants currently at 190 gigawatts due to the low flows in low head plants in the Amazon region and maintenance, the capacity available on that day to meet demand peaks with hydroelectric plants was approximately 70 gigawatts versus 109 installed. The third factor was the expectation of a drop in renewable generation, especially wind power, because of the end of the wind season. And finally, the shutdown for maintenance of relevant thermoelectric plants, as in ANRE 2, additionally with the displacement of the spotlight from its regulatory floor, the long-term energy price curve also began to move upwards as the market began to assign a risk premium based on all the factors that I have just mentioned. As an example, the forward curve for 2027, according to BBCE, rose 10 BRL, going at that time from 110 to 116 BRL per megawatt hour. GSF was 80% in the third quarter and 92% in the first 9 months of 2023. Year to date, our GSF expectations is in line with CCE, around 89%. We present a chart showing the 49% in increase of volume generated by AES Brasil hydroelectric plants in the quarter and a 42% increase in the 9 months of 2023. It's worth remembering that for the years of 2022 and 2023, AES Brasil adopted the energy of following the allocation of MRE between the months of the year. Just for information, the company's plants represent 2% of the physical guarantee of the capacity that it makes up in the MRE of the energy reallocation mechanism. Now, going to slide number 10, I will talk about the performance of our wind assets. As I mentioned at the beginning of the presentation, our wind generation grew 95% in the quarter and 111% year-to-date compared to 2022. This evolution is a direct reflex of the growth in the company's portfolio, with three new wind complexes, Ventos do Araripe, Caetés, and Cassino, incorporated into the portfolio in December last year, and the operation of wind access in final phase of construction, as I have mentioned, of Tucano and Cajaina, in addition to increased availability of operating assets in the quarter. The reduction in the volume generated in the third quarter of operating assets reflects the higher incidence of curtailment, especially as of mid-August after the blackout. In the quarter, the restriction prevented our plants from generating around 100 gigawatts hour, eight times the curtailment volume recorded in the third quarter of 2022, which corresponds to a reduction in revenue of approximately 14 million BRL in the third quarter of 2023. This restriction offset the evolution in the availability of assets in the quarter, which rose 2 percentage points. Moving now to slide 11, I highlight the consolidated average availability of our solar power plants operating at a level of excellence, reaching 99% during the third quarter and the first 9 months of 2023. In addition, we observed a significant increase in irradiance with a growth of 9% between quarters. The generation in the third quarter of 2023 and year-to-date numbers reflect the combination of higher incidence of the sun with an increase in the availability of the plants, partially offset by the curtailment that I already mentioned. In the case of solar plants, these flow restrictions had an impact of 4 gigawatts in the third quarter of 2023 and 10 gigawatts hour in the first 9 months of 2023. There was no curtailment in 2022 for comparison purposes. The definitions of compensation rules for the solar power plants affected have not yet been regulated by ANEEL. On slide 12, you can see a vision of our portfolio and level of contracting through 2027. Our hydro plants are practically fully contracted for the years of 24 and 25, and the total portfolio exceeds 80% in terms of contracting in a five-year horizon until 2025. With the current situation fully resolved, our commercial team is focused on energy sales from 2026 onwards. In the third quarter of 2023, we sold 59 average megawatts at an average price of approximately 106 BRL. In addition, we are engaged in the power purchase and and sale transactions intra-year, aiming to boost margins and strengthen the strategy of our trading company, which supports our portfolio management team. In examining the average sale price of our portfolio in consolidated terms, we can observe the price range close to 109 per megawatt hour for all years, ensuring predictability of revenue in the short and medium term. It's worth highlighting here the factors that can boost prices are not being fully considered by the market, such as the new operating dynamics given to the inclusion of renewables, as seen in recent events, growing electrification, the potential of hydrogen, the government's plan for the fertilizer industry, decarbonization, and the boosting of data centers in response to technology expansion and others. Now, I would like to give the floor to Simon to continue the presentation, talking about the financial information.
Thank you, Rogério. It's a pleasure to be here with you once again to share the company's results. We start the financial session on slide 14 with a highlight with 37% growth in operating margin, both in the quarter and in the 9 months of the year. Talking a little bit about the quarter, we saw an evolution of the hydro margin of 44 million, which is 102 million year to date, and a growth of wind power, 120 million in the quarter and 300 million in year to date. Now talking about the hydro margin, the positive result here is explained by a better strategy in terms of portfolio management. We sold energy more expensive, 5% more expensive in the quarter and 7% more expensive in the year. At the same time, we were able to buy cheaper energy, 15% cheaper in the quarter and 16% cheaper in the year. The big contribution here for the quarter and year comes from wind farms as a reflex both from organic and inorganic growth that we had been presenting, in addition to the operational efficiency that is basically more availability of the assets that are already in our portfolio. Now talking about organic, the growth was due to the phased entry into operation of Tucan and Cajuína. In inorganic, the inflow of assets that we acquired at the end of last year in December. As part of the hydro margin, we considered the receipt of a compensation of 32 million BRL in this quarter, but which refers to an accident that occurred in 2021 in 2 wind turbines. I'm also going to talk a little bit about the event that happened throughout the quarter, with emphasis especially in the last month of the quarter, which is the curtailment or energy restriction, which affected both wind and solar plants. In our total portfolio, the impact was not so great, a little bit below 3% in the net margin, but ended that impact in generation and net operating margin of wind and solar assets. In October, the ONS indication is that there is already a significant reduction in curtailment, and the worst is past in September. On slide number 15, I comment a little bit about the company's operating costs and expenses. We closed this quarter with 158 million BRL in operating costs and expenses, a growth of 14 million BRL as compared to Q3 2023. Looking at year-to-date numbers, we have 484 million operating costs and expenses versus 392 million in the first 9 months of 2022. To explain a little better, we have it broken down a little bit. I'll start with inflation. Inflation accounts 7 million of the 14 million that I mentioned in terms of cost increase between quarters, and it basically refers to inflation that applies to our cost base, but which is going to be transferred to all PPAs. All of them are indexed to inflation as of the beginning of next year. All PPAs are adjusted in January. So we have separated what is growth and growth are the costs related to assets that were not in the portfolio in Q3 2023, and that are now in the portfolio in Q3 2023, namely Ventos do Araripe, Caetés, Cassino, Tucan, and Cajuína. They have a negative contribution. They increased the cost base by 19 million in the quarter and 65 million in the first 9 months of the year, but they provide a positive contribution in the EBITDA. So they contribute 107 million EBITDA, and the 65 million cost that we saw in the first 9 months of 2023 translates to 290 million EBITDA added by the new assets in the period. We have a reduction of 12 million BRL
and third-party services and reported here non-recurring item that adds up 8 million BRL in this quarter. Now, on slide number 16, we'll talk about the significant evolution in the company's EBITDA and net income. We closed the third quarter with 430 million EBITDA, an increase of 51% compared to the third quarter of 2022, and reached the mark of 1.2 million EBITDA in the first 9 months of 2023, an increase of 43% compared to year-to-date in 2023. But it's important thing is that these 1.2 million reported now for the 9 months of operation 2023 are equivalent to 12 months reported in the year of 2022. So we are really starting to see the materialization of the growth that we've been talking about in the last few quarters. With these results now, we already have the contribution of wind solar with 65% of the EBITDA, and the rest is hydro. Now, talking about net income, we have had a growth of 21% in the quarter and in the year, reaching 124 million now in Q3 2023 and 221 million year to date. The profit has a negative impact on the bottom line because the company has taken more debt over this period. So we finished the first quarter of 2023 with 7.9 gross debt, and now we have 11.9 million. So we have an increase of 4 billion BRL in gross debt. And this obviously generates a greater financial expense. It's a consequence of the growth phase that we are now. And all the funding of Cajuína and Tucano is already in a balance sheet. To offset the financial expense, we made some interesting investments in cash. So we finished above 102 of the CDI in terms of profitability, allocated cash more efficiently in the sport among the SPEs, which led to a better and lower effective tax rate for the company, which ended up offsetting the financial expense a little and allowing us to show 21% growth and profit. Turning to slide 17, we show the consolidated cash flow for the quarter compared to the second quarter 2023. We ended the quarter with a cash position of 3.1 billion, while we had 3.9 in June 23. We had a cash generation in this period in last quarter of about 400 million, 382 million, and we invested 811 million in this last period. Year to date, we have already reached 2 billion BRL invested basically in the construction of Tucano and Cajuína. When we look at the cash balance bar in the 3.1 billion, we highlighted already that we also have about 700 million. 339 million is still investments until the end of the year for these same two wind assets and amortization amounting to 200 million BRL to 2023. I'd like to point out that we don't need any new funding. We already have the 12 million gross debt that already commented in the previous slide, which is precisely what we need to complete the constructions and leaves us at a proposed position. On slide 18, and we show the company's capital structure in the third quarter of 2023. We closed the quarter with 8.9 billion in net debt in consolidated view and 4.1 million debt in the view of AES operations. Consolidated leverage was in line with the third quarter, very much in line with the second quarter of 2023. And we're talking about 5.6 times net debt EBITDA. And remembering that now in the second and third quarters of this year, we reached the company's peak of the consolidated, the company's consolidated averages. Tucano and Cajuína projects start operating in a phased manner, and we are going to see a significant deleverage looking from the consolidated vision. Holding. Our goal, thinking about capital structure, is to have a leverage of 3.5 times, 4 times, which we expect to achieve in the coming years. Now we have mature assets that can generate cash and that have a limitation of 4 times that debt over EBITDA. And we reported the third quarter of 23, 3.14 times, a decrease versus the 3.28 reported in the second quarter of 2023. Now, looking at the lower part of the slide, we can see the amortization schedule. We have 206 million BRL of amortization still in 2023. In 24 and 25, in different color, we have 3 outstanding bridges that we need to renegotiate. We need to take out long-term debts. And we are also working that at the development banks and commercial banks to take out this balance, which is a little about 2 billion BRL. And by doing this, we're naturally from indexation that today is mostly CDI to indexation that will be IPCA, which makes a natural hedge of our revenue and will take our duration of the debt portfolio, which today is 4.1 years to 6.1 quickly, basically exchanging these bridges, which are naturally shorter contracts for longer contracts, project finance studies, which are going to be among SPEs and in the subholding of Cajuína projects. Thank you so much. Back to Roger. Thank you, Simon. Now on slide 20, I will talk a little bit about our work on some relevant regulatory issues, starting from the exceptional regulatory mechanism, also known as Forgiveness Day. In July, the company benefited from the opportunity created by ANEEL to reposition part of its project pipeline for the years of 2026 and 2027, return of generation concessions and the termination of contracts for the use of the transmission system. By using this mechanism, the company changed part of its projects in the following way. Maintenance and extension of the deadline of projects totaling the installed capacity by 282 megawatts. They are Tucano Phase 2 and Cajuína Phase 3, which continue to be entitled to discounts on the tariff for the use of the transmission system. And the postponement of the availability of project for construction with the annulment of concessions and contracts for the use of the current project system that add up to an installed capacity of 738 megawatts, whose feasibility were more appropriate for the years of 26 and 27, already on the new concession request, even without the right of discount on the test. Another highlight in our regulation team's performance was the methodology to calculate the limits of the spot price. The maximum minimum limits of spot price for next year will be the same as the ratified solution 3167-2022 updated by the inflation as case IPCA. As a result, the methodologies for calculating minimum spot price and for defining TEL and for calculating maximum structural spot price and the conciliation system between the maximum hourly spot price and maximum structural spot price will only be discussed in the first half of 2024 and will come into force in 2025, thereby minimizing risk and uncertainties to the market in a short-term decision. Finally, we'd like to highlight our work together with associations to reimburse transmission companies for the reduction load after the blackout of August 15. After the blackout, ONS adopted still in August a more conservative approach in the operation of the system, reducing the flow limit from 13 gigawatt hour to 8 gigawatt hour in transmission lines and take energy from the north and northeast to consumption centers in the south and southeast. After completion of the first analysis, the system operator decided on the 20th of September to raise the limit of load transported by these lines to 10.8 gigawatts, average gigawatts. The return on the previous limit depends on implementation of the recommendations for corrections and adjustments made by the ONS to certain generation players of generation, transmission, and even distribution companies. The grid constraints have had an impact on renewable energy and assets in the northeast region in Brazil, focus on wind access. The main transmission bottlenecks were in the states of Rio Grande do Norte and Sierra. AES Brazil's portfolio in these states totals a total installed capacity of 921 megawatts in Rio Grande do Norte and 108 megawatts in Sierra. Moving to slide 21 in the presentation, now show the latest achievements in the ESG front. It's not new that we are a company based on best ESG practices, committed to sustainability of our business and our customers. In addition to maintaining our maximum score, AAA, for ESG performance according to MSCI ranking, AES Brazil continues to be the only AAA company in the utility sectors in Latin America. In this manner, we remain committed to being the customer's best choice in the free energy market, of offering resilient, competitive, and responsible solutions, and putting into practice our values to lead the energy transition with increase of renewable sources. It's also a great joy for us to share with you that we're the most awarded company in the public utilities and energy sector in Brazil in the best and biggest 2023 ranking by Exame magazine. We're also once again among the greatest place to work in 2023, according to a FEE employee experience survey conducted by Fundação Estudo de Administração in partnership with Boal. And the main highlight is that we continue to lead the segment for the second consecutive year and the first place in the electricity industry. We are also recognized by the eighth consecutive year by ANEFAC 2023 Transparency Prize in the category Companies Renewables up to 5 million. By being part of such an important group of companies recognized by the award, we see that we are on the right track and we act responsibly and with the integrity of our financial information together with all our stakeholders. Another important highlight is that I am the new spokesperson for SDG 7, a clean and affordable energy through the UN Global Compact's Impact Leadership Program in Brazil. The Sustainable Development Goals 7 involves ensuring access to affordable, reliable, sustainable, and modern energy for all people, which is directly linked to our purpose here at AES. Finally, it's a great pride for me to tell you that at the end of the August, the first class of women specialists in operation and maintenance of wind farms graduated in Rio Grande do Norte in partnership with SENAI in that state. The initiative is part of the actions involving local community projects for the Cajuína Wind Complex and our Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion program. This course trained 73 women from the region is considered a milestone for the industry and for female participation in the state. In all, they had 460 hours of training. Now, graduated specialists will be able to take part in our selection processes to join the Cajuína Complex team. This will be the second complex 100% operated by women. It is very pleasing to know that through this work, we have expanded the possibilities for professional development of women in this segment. Moving to the last slide in our presentation, it's been a while that AES Brazil has been presenting the main pillars that we'll be focusing along 2023. We are continuing what has been built over the last few years. Today, we celebrate our achievements, but we also recognize that we still have many challenges to face. I want to share the main actions that have been carried out over the first 9 months of this year. Starting the completion of wind construction, we delivered Cajuína Phase 1 with 317 megawatts, in addition to the first four wind turbines of Cajuína 2 started operating. We continue to work on the operational turnaround front of our new assets with the replenishment of inventories to expedite the replacement of equipment and recovery of most of our critical wind turbines. Regarding the perception of the materialization of our goal strategy, we recorded for another quarter significant growth in our financial results. In the commercial pillar, market intelligence drives the active management of our portfolio, allowing daily monitoring and the structuring and execution of medium and long-term strategies with our total portfolio above 80% contracted for the coming years. And finally, acting as leaders in the main regulatory discussions, we believe that the current model needs to be improved, recognizing a fairer way the contribution of water sources to the Brazilian matrix and thus enabling a better use of their qualities. And with that, we come to the end of our presentation and we can start our questions and answers session. Thank you all very much. Ladies and gentlemen, now we are going to start the questions and answers session. To ask a question, please press star one. To take your question from the list, please press the pound key. As a reminder, the questions received in our webcast platform and that are not answered in this conference call will be answered afterwards by our investor relations team. Our first question comes from John Pimentel from BTG Pactual. average price of hydro contracts varied in relation to what was reported, especially for 26 and 27. Could you give us more detail for this price increase, as we did not see any major variation of prices in the market during the quarter? Good morning, Juan. Thank you for the question. There are two factors explaining what you mentioned. Two factors that have led us to sell energy at prices above those that we saw in the market, both in Q2 and Q3. First one is retailer. The retailer market has margins that are well above market prices. So retailers sold our volume because material helps to improve average prices. And number, the second point is the volatility that we had in the third quarter, especially after the August 15 blackout, and then the very hot days in September, when there was a very strong draft in the north region. There were thermal dispatch. So all the volatility that has been going on for quite some time, which is inherent of a market that has lots of renewable, that is intermittent, ends up generating this type of volatility. So the team is always well prepared to capture these opportunities, and we're able to allocate a sales volume for this year's, considering the oscillations that we had. These are the two factors: retail and volatility because of high temperature thermal dispatch and so on. Our next question from Marcelo from Itaú BBA. What are the company's expectations for the capacity reserve auction? When do you know this is going to happen? Do you have any projects that can participate in the auction? Good morning, Marcelo. Thank you for the question. Talking about capacity auction, everything indicates all the interactions that we have had with the many agencies and associations. Everything is designed to have a capacity auction in 2024. It's going to start in the first quarter, and the future of the auction is still being discussed. There will be many different sources, and everything that we have been seeing, considering the blackout in August and the increase in renewables, and what we are seeing, and we are preparing ourselves to do that, is for storage, both for capacity and auxiliary services. We know that both functions are very suitable for Brazil, and we're preparing projects so that they can be enabled once this auction is launched. So it depends on how they prepare the invitation to bid. So we have different projects for different invitations to bid, but we really believe that we have a great opportunity for developing projects, also because AES Corporation is one of the largest, if not the largest, developer in the world for storage systems, for distribution and transmission systems with the joint venture that we have in the U.S. So we have a competitive differentiation in terms of know-how and access to technology. So this enables us to bid, to be competitive in bidding. Thank you, Rogério. Another question from Marcelo Sá. What do we imagine the government is going to propose in legislative changes that will impact the industry, because we're not going to go for the PL 414? Would you go at the end of self-production by equivalent? Do you think these measures would have an impact on it? Yes. Thank you, Marcelo. To answer that question, we have Carlos Pompermeier, our regulation, legal, and institutional relations VP. Carlos, if you could answer that question. Thank you, Rogério. Thank you, Marcelo, for your question. Well, the issue, it has more to do with perception than fact. In our understanding, 414, not really new, as you said. There is a dispute in the leadership of regulation in the electric industry, business will come. And once it comes, it will be welcome because there are many things here that we can adjust. But especially when we talk about self-production, because of everything that we've been seeing, yes, there will be a restriction. But I've never seen an end of self-production. There will be some limitations in terms of allocations, in terms of equity, minimal load, to characterize something as self-production and expansion of the electric industry. And self-production was the main lever through private investment. So there is a trade-off that they cannot be neglected and should be kept. So the government's vision is to limit any possible abuse and thereby reduce the load that goes to CDE. So there is something related to tariffs there. Thank you, Carlos. Our next question comes from Daniel from Safra. First is about the capex of construction projects. How do you see the dynamics of implementation costs and dynamics with suppliers considering the inflation of the last few months? Was there any contract review that will have an impact on costs as you implement the project? The second question is about the forgiveness day. So you changed it. And these projects will have a new concession process. Could you explain the rationale for this decision? What is the plan for those projects looking into the future? Okay, Daniel, thank you for your question. So the first part, Simão is going to talk about CapEx, and then I'll talk about the forgiveness day. Thank you, Daniel, for your question. So for CapEx, we have annual adjustments for the contract. Both for Tucano and Cajuína, we have regular adjustments, price adjustments. We have no more CapEx next year for the building of assets. We are going to deliver 2.8 billion of investments next year, a little bit less than 230 million, because Cajuína and Tucano is going to start going to operation. There is a CapEx adjustment by the inflation, but all revenue, everything are indexed by the IPCA. The same indicator that also adjusts costs, thinking of about CapEx. So it's part of the business, but it is neutral because inflation also adjusts revenues. Now the second part, forgiveness day. Now talking about the forgiveness day, Danielle, our decision methodology and the criteria that we use to decide which project we would give back, whose concession we would give back or connection or both, and which projects we would keep, either the concession or the connection or both, was the stage of development of the project. If it's mature, ready to be built, or more on an early stage, and those that have a discount in the concession and the time and the connection contract for the test. And so all of this helped us to define priorities and also the expectation for future contracts. And with all of this, we decided to delay projects that were not so developed. And those that did not have the discount and the TUST, we decided to give back the concession and connection, making use of the window of opportunity, and those that we expect to develop and that have a more advanced stage of development and discount of TUST, they are more likely to be sold within between 2024 and 2025. That's why we decided to keep them. Thank you, Rogério. Our next question comes from Marcelo Sai from Itaú BBA. How do you see the spot prices in the future? Do you think this is going to be approved in the Senate suspending ANEEL's decision. So Carlos is going to answer that question.
Thank you, Rogério.
Marcelo, I think that here we are talking about forecasts and perceptions. This is a bill that is very strong. It's very well backed on claims that have grounds, and the main region affected is the northeast of Brazil, but it depends on the dynamics of votes. In contrast, there is a discussion on the role of regulators and how far their rights and competence would go in terms of deciding on this matter. In a nutshell, I think that yes, it will be approved. The bill will pass. I just don't know when, because we never know how the Congress works.
Thank you, Carlos. Our next question comes from Bruno Oliveira from AGS. Is there an expectation for the payout of dividends? And what is your schedule for the payout of dividends over next year? Any trends in terms of leverage for 2024? What is your suggestion?
I'm going to answer. This is Simão answering the question. We have a dividend policy to pay out between 50 and 100 of the dividend of our profit. So today we have a leverage. We have just finished building 1 giga and 4 operational giga. So all the investments that we have made drove the consolidated leverage to 5.6 times. Now, considering this and the current interest curve, we have decided to be on the lower range of our the lower part of our range to pay 50% of the profit. We did that last year, and we are going to do this year again. And as the company goes back to normal levels, we are going to change that. So we get to the end of the investment cycle, so deleverage will be natural. And so late last year, leverage was about 4 times, 2024, and leverage was 4.5 times net debt over EBITDA, which is natural. The net is then our financials. And so assets are going to operation and generating EBITDA. So naturally, the company goes through a quick deleverage, and then we're going to think of changing our percentage for the payout of dividends.
Ladies and gentlemen, we now end our questions and answer session. I would like to turn it over to Mr. Jorge for his final remarks.
So with the questions and answers, we answer our earnings release call. I thank you all very much for your attendance. So the questions that we could answer live during the meeting, and those that were not answered, we are going to give your answers directly by email. Thank you all very much, and have an excellent day. The conference call has now ended. Thank you so much for your participation, and have a nice day.